Broadcasting live from the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in the ASTD International Convention and Expo.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton at ASTD 2014 in beautiful Washington, D.C. Hashtag ASTD 2014 if you are following at home on Twitter. Stone, how you doing?
I am doing really well. This is a lot of fun. It's a fun group. It's a smart group. They're very passionate about their work, and I love collaborating with training pros. And Nicole has been so marvelous in keeping us fed and watered, but now I think she's just having fun with me because she brought me this wonderful cup of trail mix right before I went on air.
I know. You can't have any.
And I'm not allowed to touch it until after the interview. But this is going to be a marvelous segment. We have with us the CEO, the grand poobah, the man with the 6Ds company. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Andrew Jefferson. Good afternoon, sir.
Hello. Nice to be here with you.
6Ds, what are you guys doing for folks? What are you guys out there?
Well, the 6Ds company is a consulting practice which is really focusing in on bringing process thinking to the training and development industry. Process thinking that would be very much like what you would see with Six Sigma or Lean or Kaizen. So that training is actually being treated as a process rather than the way it is treated today all too often, which is as an event. And you know, at its heart, learning, ASTD, this conference, is about training. But training is fundamentally a means to an end. And to get to that end, you need more than just good training.
And you've got to transfer not just skills, but belief before you're genuinely going to see behavior change. Is that accurate? Is that what this whole learning transfer thing is all about? Or speak to that topic of learning transfer a bit, if you would.
Okay, great question. The 6Ds model is really about how do you drive learning transfer, because ultimately we're trying, again, to get to that end, which is the end for training is improved business outcomes. And so learning transfer, from our perspective, is one of the key missing ingredients, and it's what is happening post-instruction. Are your learning participants actually going to take the next step after the instruction and put the learning to work? We actually describe it almost as an inflection point or a moment of truth where after the training, a participant has a choice to make. Am I going to use the new behaviors, the new skills, in a way which is going to produce improved performance and on-the-job results, or am I going to do it the old way? Am I going to do it the way that I'm actually comfortable with, the way that's habit? And so learning transfer is all about how do we get people to make that choice to use the new skills, to try out the new way, so that with enough time and enough practice, they are able to achieve the kind of performance improvement and business impact that the organization wants.
But doesn't it go beyond just that one point of trying it the day after the training, but keeping doing it even beyond that?
Well, again, great point, and the answer is yes, that in fact, learning transfer and the process for designing for learning transfer begins before the instruction, and in fact, in many ways, begins before the instructional design. Because, again, as learning is a process, one of the key elements that we have to know before we can even undertake to design instruction is what does the business need? Because humans are all driven by a need to know why they're going to do something.
So why is it the crux of all this?
Yeah, what's in it for me? Why? That one of the things that we don't do well enough is to understand what is, in fact, the business looking for, not in terms of change in behavior, but in terms of improved business performance. What is the business outcome that they expect?
Now, sometimes doesn't maybe the executive think they know the why, but there's a why before the why?
There oftentimes is a why before the why. And one of the things that we have found out, and many of our clients have found out, is that the business oftentimes has a somewhat ill-formed idea of what they want and what they need. And so it winds up being a process of discovery for the learning professional to find out and help ferret out what is the actual business need that's going to be served by training, Or, in the alternative, is in fact this need something that training can even solve for? Because one of the things I think we also need to be prepared to do is to say no, that training can't solve this issue. But when it is a training issue, and you know, bringing us back into the transfer question, that knowing what the business needs, designing training so that it's clear what the relevance of the training is to that business need, that you're giving people an opportunity to meaningfully practice during instruction, and then supporting them post-instruction, are all part of in what we call in our second discipline, designing a complete experience. It's taking a holistic view of training and making sure that you have all of the pieces in place that will, in fact, impact whether or not you get transfer.
So what's the role of the manager in all this? Because, I mean, they can untrain them quicker than you can train them, right? Once well, you get them back out in the field.
They can untrain them quicker than we can train them. In fact, we were doing a session yesterday here at ASTD about the only two questions that really matter in training and development, and the issue came up that despite all of our good work, that a manager can undo it just like that, in just an instant, snap of a finger.
Right.
And so one of the things that we need to be prepared to do is to ensure that we have deployed performance support for a manager, not just the participant. You know, we're very good at thinking about what kind of support does a participant need to be successful. But we also, in parallel, need to be thinking about what kind of support should we be putting in place to support that participant's manager. Because the participant's manager needs to understand what was the training about, what business outcome is it designed to serve, what are the key behaviors that I'm looking for, what does good look like, and how do I coach to that? Because oftentimes, one of the reasons that a manager winds up being indifferent to or blocking training is they actually don't know what it's all about. And that they're comfortable with the way we do it now, so that's how we're going to do it.
They don't understand or believe in the why that you and Lee were talking about.
Exactly. And so being explicit about the relevance, being explicit about the business impact that the organization is looking for from that investment in training is what this is ultimately all about.
Now, is there a way to utilize some of the kind of the new tools that are in some of the training and development team's tool belt in order to reinforce the learning, like the technology, so blogs,
shot collar,
gamification seems to be popular if you look around the room here.
Yeah, it's a great question, and from both a pre-instruction and a post-instruction standpoint, that there's a range of good new technologies, and some that have been around for a while and are quite mature and sophisticated, that can help to drive transfer. One example would be there's a tool out called Results Engine, which my co-author Roy Pollack and I used to be involved with, which is really a learning transfer technology for the post-instructional phase. There's another called QStream. Then you've got the range of gamification and the work done by people like Tiagi, where what you're really doing is incorporating gamification into the instructional period in a way that is going to get people to actually engage and to practice. And what's important is not so much which of these technologies that you're selecting, it's that you're selecting a technology and then using it in a way which is going to result in a debrief that has meaning to your participants. Because you actually you can't just run a game and then assume everybody got it. You have to run a game or use a technology or other platforms that are available and then debrief them in a way that people actually take away the core message. They take away a core understanding of how that interaction applies to the business need that the training is serving.
But it's not just take away, like I memorized this fact, it's take away and actually implement.
Well, it's take away and internalize. internalize and assimilate so that when you begin to use the new skills in the workplace, you're going to use them with that context in mind, that context that you learned from that game experience or from that simulation or from that role play, so that it gives you the context and the comfort to say, yes, I can try this, I can do this when I get back into the workplace. I have developed a level of confidence that I'm willing to give you the discretionary effort necessary to begin transferring this skill, using this skill, and hopefully producing business impact.
And the depth of belief, I guess, and the depth of understanding is so much more than just superficially memorizing some things or just listening and clapping and being inspired by an instructor. Like, this seems like you're asking a lot more.
Well, I think we are asking a lot more, and we are strongly encouraging that there be a reevaluation of how we actually...
You're trying to manage the expectation. You're raising the bar here, it sounds like. You know, a lot of people are just taking a superficial approach, like, here, read this book. I gave everybody a book, or everybody watched this webinar, and they check a box and they think they're done. It seems like you're asking a lot more.
We are asking more. This is not about clapping. It's not about excitement. It's about how do we get people to develop enough of a comfort level with a new skill that they're willing to then go try it. And oftentimes, you know, for example, that one of the ways that we evaluate whether training was successful, and frankly the most frequent way,
smiley faces,
is a smile sheet, a level one evaluation. And, you know, basically what we're asking them was, were you entertained? But we're not in the edutainment business. We're actually in the business of pushing people in the instruction, probably making them a little uncomfortable in the instruction, so that they do have a chance of succeeding back in the workplace. There's a wonderful article that came out, it's probably 7 years old now, called Are You Too Nice to Train? And what they were looking at and what they were describing in this article was the fact that some facilitators were about to get fired because they had low level one scores, low smiley sheet scores. And Neil Rackham of Spin Selling, he went and looked at this, and what they found was that the facilitators with the low level ones had the highest performing students back in the workplace.
So we should get rid of them. That's learning.
Because they were actually making the students work.
Right.
You know, so the students, when they got the chance to score them, said, well, I'll fix your wagon.
Exactly.
You know, no five, no four, I'm going to give you a two.
Well, where does, I don't know, the learner's accountability fit into all of this? I mean, you got the trainer doing their job. Presumably, you've got line managers devoted to the development of these folks. But, I mean, the learner has to take on responsibility, too, for all this to stick, right?
Well, the learner does have to take on responsibility, but and you know, ultimately, all development is self-development. But we play a very significant role in determining whether or not the learner is actually going to take responsibility.
Hmm.
And that is, you know, in part what we discussed earlier, which is, you know, why am I going to do this? Malcolm Knowles' work in the Adult Learner, he was very clear about the fact that adults want to know why they need to do something before they will undertake to do it. And so for us to get a learner to take the personal responsibility, we need to connect for them the value proposition. What is the value to them? What is the value to the organization? If, in fact, they do give us that discretionary effort and go back and put the learning to work. And so, from the standpoint of responsibility, yes, we want them to, but we need to nurture that responsibility and give them a reason to take ownership of the learning in a way which enables them to put that learning to work.
Now, accountability always sounds like a good plan until it's you that have to be held accountable.
Don't want any on yourself.
Now,
it's good for those other guys.
Is this hard for you to communicate this message to executives and say, you know, we should go this route?
Well, that's an interesting question. That it really depends. It depends on the audience. If the executive believes in their heart of hearts, there's a great quote out by a fellow whose name was Ari de Geis. He was the group vice president of Royal Dutch Shell. And basically what he said was, the ability to learn faster than your competitors is the only true sustainable competitive advantage of a company of the 21st century. If a business person actually believes that, and many do, that holding the business accountable for their part in this process is oftentimes not as difficult as you would think, because remember, they're making a gargantuan investment. That the amount of money that big companies spend on training and development, with very little to see for it, you know, the results oftentimes they can't see whether they did or didn't get results because they're not measured, but they have the sense that we're not seeing a change in behavior, so we're probably not getting the business impact, and so the investment that I just made didn't yield what I expected. If you couple that with some of the research which has shown very explicitly that a manager has the potential to make or break training, that the degree to which they will engage with their direct report before training and after training is a determinant factor of whether or not the training will be successful. And so, if you play that for managers, make it explicit that they play a vital role, and then provide them with that support that I mentioned earlier, make it easy for them to be successful, make it easy for them to be held accountable, then you will get their buy-in and you will see the results flow from it.
All right, Andrew Jefferson, CEO with the 6Ds Company. Where can our listeners go to learn more? And you specifically, you mentioned a book a little earlier in the conversation too. Where can they get their hands on that?
Well, thanks for asking. They can visit our website at www.the6ds.com. So it's www.the6ds.com. And the book that I was mentioning is our latest book, which has been published by Wiley, which is The Field Guide to the Six Disciplines. And it is a follow-on book which contains about 43 case studies from around the world of putting the 6Ds and process thinking to work to produce organizational impact in companies large and small across the globe.
Well, thanks so much for coming to hang out with us, man.
Thank you very much. It's been a real privilege, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. We will be back in a few from the show floor of ASTD ICE 2014.
This has been a special Business Radio X production brought to you by Training Pros, your source for local learning and development experts. Learn more at training-pros.com.